Good morning. The reading today is coming from Ezekiel 25, verses 1 to 17, which can be found on page 854 of the Church Bible. A prophecy against Ammon. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, set your face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Say to them, hear the word of the Sovereign Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you said, 'Aha,' over my sanctuary when it was desecrated, and over the land of Israel when it was laid waste, and over the people of Judah when they went into exile. Therefore, I'm going to give you to the people of the east as a possession. They will set up camps and pitch their tents amongst you. They will eat your fruit and drink your milk. I will turn Rabbah into a pasture for camels and Ammon to a resting place for sheep. Then you will know that I am Lord. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you have clapped your hands and stamped your feet, rejoicing with all malice of your heart against the land of Israel, therefore I will stretch out my hand against you and give you as plunder to the nations. I will cut you off from the nations and exterminate you from the countries. I will destroy you, and you will know that I am Lord." A prophecy against Moab. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because Moab and Seir said, "Look, the house of Judah has become like all other nations. Therefore, I will expose the flank of the Moab, beginning at its frontier towns, Beth Jeshimoth, Baal Meon, and Kiriath-Yearim, and glory the glory of that land. I will give Moab along with the Ammonites to the people of the east as a possession, so that the Ammonites will not be remembered amongst the nations, and I will inflict punishment on Moab. Then they will know that I am Lord." A prophecy against Edom. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because Edom took revenge on the house of Judah and became very guilty by doing so, therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will stretch out my hand against Edom and kill its men and their animals. I will lay it waste, and from Teman to Dedan they will fall by the sword. I will take vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they will deal with Edom in accordance with my anger and my wrath. They will know my vengeance, declares the Sovereign Lord. A prophecy against Philistia. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because the Philistines acted in vengeance and took revenge with malice in their hearts, and with their ancient hostility sought to destroy Judah, therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I'm about to stretch my hand out against the Philistines, and I will cut off the Kerethites and destroy those remaining along the coast. I will carry out great vengeance on them and punish them in my wrath. Then they will know that I am Lord, when I take vengeance on them.
Thank you, Herman. Last Monday morning, Donnie and I were traveling in the central line towards westbound. It was drizzling during those hours, and the floor inside the tube was too wet. We were just standing close to the gate, and there was a girl who was standing nearby to us, listening to music in her phone. And there was another woman standing there, watching something in her phone. And the tube stopped at Leytonstone. And a gentleman was rushing into the tube just before the gate was closing. Since the floor was wet and in a hurry he was coming into the tube, he slipped on the floor and lost his balance. But before he fell down, he wants to have a support to hold, and unfortunately he bashed onto the girl's mobile phone, and the phone slipped and fell onto the railway track. We all feel like that, isn't it? But the girl was confused and she was looking clueless what to do at that moment, looking at her phone or the railway track, and she was really thinking, what can she do that situation? And she looked at the gentleman and she said, "What have you done?" And then eventually she has to get down the tube to recover her phone or whatever it is. She got down. Surprisingly, this gentleman and then another woman who was standing there, they bursted into love. They laughed. And the man was saying, "What can I do?" In fact, the girl helped him for him to get into the tube. If we are in a position of not helping others in their helpless moments, at least we should not laugh and tease at them. This is what exactly happened to the children of Israel. The opposing nations around the Israel and the Judah, they were laughing and mocking at them. Ezekiel, the prophet, is bringing a prophecy against the nations, those who are acting as opponents to the Israel. Today, we are going to meditate the word of God Ezekiel has brought to the people around the nations of Judah and Israel. On one occasion, it was said, when Ezekiel was preaching in Babylon, at the same exact moment, he had a vision of seeing a person dropping dead in Jerusalem. Few weeks later, he found that man indeed had died in Jerusalem at the exact moment when Ezekiel was having a vision about that man dropping dead. Ezekiel could see what is happening in Jerusalem when he was hundreds of miles away in Babylon. Modern scholars have written that, mentioning Ezekiel must be kept going back to Jerusalem to see what things are going on there, what things are happening in Jerusalem. In the modern technology world, we can see exactly what is happening, the events, everything visually on the other side of the earth from here, using Skype. What else? Something like a video or chat or whatever you do. FaceTime. Anything else? I can't pronounce. Can you tell it loudly? Google Hangouts. Okay. It has added in the list. See, the list is going on. You can see eventually what is happening at the exact real time on the other end of the earth from here. But unfortunately, the technology could not go beyond seeing things happening in future. Ezekiel had a vision of seeing things in the future. In the Bible, there are 27% of the verses contain predictions. And in Ezekiel is a book having the highest percentage of those predictions comparing to the rest of the books in the Bible. And about 3/4 of the predictions in the book of Ezekiel have already come true to the letters. The statistical chances for these things to be happening are between 1 and 75 million. Now I'm going to ask you a simple guessing question. Is it on? Yeah. Can you say or guess the number of events that are predicted in the whole Bible? We can see whoever is coming closer to the list, they are winning, but no prize, unfortunately. 1,000, we can guess still more. Number of events that are predicted in the Bible, 5,000. It's very far. Maybe we can reduce. We can still reduce. We can still reduce than 1,000. 1,200. You can reduce. You can reduce than what you said before, 1,000. Wow. Oh, it's going back. Okay. 735 predictions in the Bible. Next guessing game. How many do you think have already happened out of these 735 predictions? 90%. Tell it in number, please. 600? 532. Oh! 593 have already come true. So nearly you can do a simple calculation and see 81% of these predictions have already happened. And the Bible's predictions, everything is 100% accurate. And yet 19% are remaining to be fulfilled, and we are certain that it will all come true. Ezekiel, in the book of reading what Herman has brought today, from chapter 25, he was prophesying against the nations around the Israel and Judah, especially Judah here in this book. Firstly, he was predicting about four nations that are the nearest neighbor nations of Judah. If you see the yellow color here, this yellow, this is Ammonites. They are very close to Judah. This is kingdom of Judah, this pink color. And this yellow is the kingdom of Ammon. And this is Moab. And this is Edom. And then the Philistines here. So you can see the Judah is surrounded with all these nations, very close and nearest neighbor nations. They were doing some opposing things around Judah. So Ezekiel is bringing the word of God, prophesying against these four nations. You can see that among these four nations, Ammonites and Moabites and Edomites. Ammonites, Moabites and Edomites, they are regarded as having a closer kinship tie relationship with the Israelites. Of course, you know that Ammonites and Moab, they were the children of Lot and the nephew of Abraham. And because of their incestuous circumstances of their birth, it seems to have poisoned Israel's perception of descendancy. And Edomites, they have much more closer kinship tie with Judah, because if you trace behind the traditional ancestry, you can see the twin sons of Isaac, Esau and Jacob. So you can see these three nations having a closer relationship already. And next comes the Philistines. They are also living closer to Judah. And if you can see the geographical sequence also, it's following in order. If you see the Ammonites, it starts from the northeast of Judah, and then in clockwise, if you turn here, it is coming the Moabites on their east and Edom on the south, and then again the clockwise, the Philistines on the southwest. These are the nations. But if you extend your reading more than chapter 25, you can see that there are three more nations adding into the list of Ezekiel. They were Tyre and Sidon. Again, they are here in the northwest, the twin cities known for trading, and then Egypt here at the southeast, southwest. Ezekiel was bringing a warning message to all these nations around Judah, around the people of Israel. What did these nations do against these Israelites? What did they do? Why should Ezekiel bring such a warning message? When the God's sanctuary was desecrated and the land of Israel was run into waste, and when the people of Judah were carried into exile, these Ammonites were saying, aha! They were clapping their hands, stomping their feet, and rejoicing with the malice in their heart. Can we do such things? When one of our neighbor, when one of our fellowship friend, one of our relation is going through suffering and pain, do we do such things? The Ammonites, they were doing that. And Edomites, what were they doing? They said, the Judah has become like all the other nation. There is no speciality in there. They have become same like other nation. Edom was saying that. And Philistines, they were thinking something revenge against this people of Israel. Revenge at their heart. And Tyre and Sidon, they were acting in vengeance. All these things around the people of God of Israel, God could not handle that. He sent the warning message through Ezekiel to go and prophesy against these opponents. The Lord God said, since you have laughed at your heart, at my children, since you have thought evil against my children, since you have acted in vengeance, since you have got that revenge in your heart, I will stretch out my hands upon you and I will destroy you. This is the warning message. At the end of every warning message to these individual nations, there is a statement continuously recurring again and again from the Lord. He finishes it with saying, then you will know that I am the Lord. When I was reading this, I was surprised. And I was thinking, how come the people of the opponent's nation will come to know the Lord after the Lord has destroyed them? Then I realized it is about a warning message. It is alerting the people about the dangers coming ahead. It was asking them to correct themselves before any disaster come unto that nations. Is it not echoing or replicating something in the voice in the wilderness? John the Baptist, he was shouting in the wilderness, repent and be baptized. And he was saying that the axe is kept at the bottom of the tree. The tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped and burnt into fire. And this is the warning message to us. Let us not take things to that extreme. Let us not take things to that too far. Let us examine ourselves and correct ourselves. This is the day we can correct ourselves today. And I know, we all know that every one of us here must have gone through happy moments and sad moments in their life. Now, we are going to spend a small time of interacting between yourself, like in a group of three or four, whatever is comfortable for you. Think about some of the good things or happy moments that has happened in your recent life past. And think about any of the sad moments, whatever it is. In any of these moments, what have you found yourself closer to God? Have you found closer to God in which occasion? In happy moments or sad moments? Or in both moments? You can share within your group. For some people, they must have received an answer yes for their prayers. And they can think about that they have felt very closer to God during such occasions. And for some people, in their difficult times, in their painful moments, in their loneliness, they might have felt very closer to God. Whatever the moment it is, just discuss within three or four in your group, recently, in which moment I felt I myself being closer to God. Shall we do that for a few minutes? I thought you must have already discussed.
People down, and he has answered the prayer. So that was happy moment. We felt okay, good. God is
almost, yeah.
Christians have, isn't it? Whatever the situation go rough and stormy times, we have only hope. And I always remember when the stormy time, my anchor holds within the veil. Yes, Lord, I'm stretching my hands inside. God is a God of dealing with all these situations in a mysterious way, isn't it? Hear any she is happy there with a good friend, found a church, started going last Sunday. It's a small 25-30 people church, but they welcomed these people and they were all happy. It seems good Christian friend is sharing the flat with her.
Probably a different spiritual experience from here.
Definitely.
Now
definitely.
She'll develop her own
When we must have discussed about all these happy and sad moments and God, how He intervened into that situation. One thing is sure, whatever the situation it may be, He is there for us. When we receive the goodness and the blessings from the Lord, having an answer, yes, for the prayer, the main thing is we should not get carried away by that. Instead, we need to come back to the Lord, giving Him thanks for His faithful presence during such occasions. In the same way, when we are in our affliction, in our sorrowful time, in our loneliness, we need to try to build a new kind of relationship with the Lord. The difficulties are not allowed in our life without the permission of God. The sufferings are allowed either for God's name to be glorified or for us to learn our mistakes from that. In John chapter 9, was saying that the disciples came unto Jesus and they were asking Him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus replied, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Sometimes the difficulties are allowed for the power of God to be explicitly shown to that person and the people around. Sometimes the problems are allowed to make us perfect. When we correctly respond to those problems, we started building up our character. And our God is interested in our character rather than on our comfort. If you see, read Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character in us and help us trust God more each time we use it, until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. Both the happiness and sad moments in our life need to be used as the tools for us to know God in a better way, more than what we know before. And these problems are allowed sometimes like a warnings. We can take it as a warning for us. We can look into our life, examine ourselves. Is there anything going wrong in me because I'm facing these problems around? And God gives us time to correct ourselves. If we are not correcting, and if we are leaving that for a while, it will take us too far from Christ. From these Ezekiel's prophecy against these nations and all those things, we can see two main qualities or characters of God. God is a God of His own children. Israelites, we read chapter 25, but until the end of last chapter, the previous chapter 24, God finishes saying that a messenger will come and he will bring the news of a devastating news that the city of Jerusalem is going to fall. This is the news the people have received in the until the previous chapter. They were all waiting to know how the messenger is going to come and how the news would be and what we are going to face. During that waiting period, God has brought an interesting intervention in the people of Israel. They didn't expect. God was saying to the nations around them, see, if you are against my people, I will stretch out my hand. That was a comforting verse for the people of Israel. See, we are not desolated. We are not left alone. The Lord God of Jehovah is with us. That's what they were shouting at that time. They were saying that they must have praised God, because God is thinking about their discomfort. God is thinking about the people against them. So God is a God of His own children. It is like a father correcting a child. The father wants the child to grow up in a good person. So he corrects him. He rebukes him. He makes him to come out of all his mistakes. But never ever have you seen any father is happy when the next door neighbor is coming and saying against the son or a daughter. God could not tolerate what these opponent nations were saying against them. Tyre and Sidon, the trade twin cities, they must have been happy because their share market rating is extremely going high because of the desolation of Judah and henceforth the Egypt. But God was warning them, don't do anything against my children. I will destroy you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And God is God of everyone. God is God of all those seven nations itself. Why He is sending such warning messages to those seven nations? He has been sending similar warning message to His people in the previous chapter. Warning is for correcting. God wants us because He loves us. He wants us to be shaped into a good shape. And the same warning He is giving to all the seven other nations. He wants them to be corrected as well. He wants them to come into the knowledge of the Lord. I like this verse, Isaiah 49:6. The Lord said to me, I have a greater task for you, my servant. Not only will you restore to the greatness the people of Israel who have survived, but I will also make you the light to the nations so that all the world may be saved. So his sovereignty cannot be limited only to the people of Israelite, only to the people of Judah. His sovereignty is extending all over the world. His grace sovereignty you can see in there. He wants people to be come into his presence. God loves us. He doesn't want any of the soul to get perished. That's what we read when we started our worship this morning. He wants everyone to be saved. And for this mission, he has been traveling from Genesis until our life on this earth. He is the Lord of goodness. And now, he is always with us. We discussed our happy and sad and sorrowful moments. In all those situations, we might have felt God is beside us. He is standing there, silently sometimes. When I say silently, I remember in the book of Revelation, chapter 8, before the seventh seal is broken, before the wrath is coming into the world, there was one beautiful statement. There was silence in heaven for half an hour. There was silence and quiet, godly presence. He doesn't want his children to be suffered. He doesn't want his children to be lost. He wants everyone to be saved. He is waiting. We are in the period of grace. So we can extend our life. We do mistakes. Can you see sometimes in the elastic rubber band, you can see there is some limit of elasticity. We will do mistakes, but we will come back again. We will come back again. Next day we come and ask sorry to the Lord. He is able to forgive us and he restores us to him. And then when we extend further, the elastic limit is gone. It is going into plastic region. So when it is extended, you lose some kind of elasticity. And there, still like the opposing nations, there is grace. Grace is still there. But there comes the end, the deformation. The complete deformation, the plastic deformation. That is where things take us too far from God. Let us not allow God saying that I will hand over to the yeast. Yeast he is mentioning in the book, they're like Babylonians. Now for us today, we pray that let him not yield us into the hands of the yeast. Our prayer should be today, Lord, I don't want you to say, then you will know that I am the Lord. We don't want to come to that extreme to make the Lord to say to us, then you will know that I am the Lord. We know you as our Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your beautiful intervention today, warning us, alerting us, rebuking us, comforting us, giving us hope and trust that you are always there for us. Whatever happens around us, Lord, we come back to you. We need you. We need you more and more in our daily life. You are all in our life, Lord. We completely surrender us into your hands. Your eyes can see all iniquities or all difficulties that we go through. But by your grace, we are saved. We believe in that. We don't want to take things that too far. We don't want you to say to us, then you will know that I am the Lord. We know you are our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.